Welcome to the Daily Zen Tei Show, a reading of the Daily Zen Journal, which is derived from talks given to students and writings of the ancient masters. Each Tei Show will feature text from a selected volume followed by commentary. The Tei Show is selected and interpreted by Ilana, scribe for Daily Zen. The Tei Show for this month is Zen and the Art of Tea, excerpted from Zen and Japanese Culture by D.T. Suzuki. One, what is common to Zen and the art of tea is the constant attempt both make at simplification. The elimination of the unnecessary is achieved by Zen in its intuitive grasp of final reality. By the art of tea, in the way of living typified by serving tea in the tea room. The art of tea is the aestheticism of primitive simplicity. Its ideal, to come closer to nature, is realized by sheltering oneself under a thatched roof in a room which is hardly 10 feet square, but must be artistically constructed and furnished. Zen also aims at stripping off all the artificial wrappings humanity has devised, supposedly for its own solemnization. Zen, first of all, combats the intellect. For in spite of its practical usefulness, the intellect goes against our effort to delve into the depths of being. Philosophy may propose all kinds of questions for intellectual solution, but it never claims to give us the spiritual satisfaction which must be accessible to every one of us, however intellectually underdeveloped one may be. Philosophy is accessible only to those who are intellectually equipped, and thus it cannot be a discipline of universal appreciation. Zen, or more broadly speaking, religion, is to cast off all one thinks he possesses, even life, and to get back to the ultimate state of being, the original abode, one's own father or mother. This can be done by every one of us. For we are what we are because of it, or him, or her, and without it, or him, or her, we are nothing. This is to be called the last stage of simplification, since things cannot be reduced to any simpler terms. The art of tea symbolizes simplification, first of all, by an inconspicuous, solitary thatched hut erected perhaps under an old pine tree, as if the hut were part of nature and not specially constructed by human hands. When form is thus once and for all symbolized, it allows itself to be artistically treated. It goes without saying that the principle of treatment is to be in perfect conformity with the original idea which prompted it, that is, the elimination of unnecessaries. I have often thought of the art of tea in connection with Buddhist life, which seems to partake so much of the characteristics of the art. Tea keeps the mind fresh and vigilant, but it does not intoxicate. It has qualities naturally to be appreciated by scholars and monks. It is in the nature of things that tea came to be extensively used in the Buddhist monasteries, and that its first introduction to Japan came through the monks. We can see now that the art of tea is most intimately connected with Zen, not only in its practical development, but principally in the observance of the spirit that runs through the ceremony itself. The spirit, in terms of feeling, consists of harmony, wa, reverence, ke, purity, se, and tranquility, jaku. These four elements are needed to bring the art to a successful end. They are all the essential constituents of a brotherly and orderly life, which is no other than the life of the Zen monastery. 2. The character for harmony also reads gentleness of spirit, yawaragi. And to my mind, gentleness of spirit seems to describe better the spirit governing the whole procedure of the art of tea. Harmony refers more to form, while gentleness is suggestive of an inward feeling. The general atmosphere of the tea room tends to create this kind of gentleness all around. Gentleness of touch, gentleness of odor, gentleness of light, and gentleness of sound. You take up a teacup, handmade and irregularly shaped, and glaze probably not uniformly overlaid. But in spite of this primitiveness, the little utensil has a peculiar charm of gentleness, quietness, and unobtrusiveness. The incense burning is never strong and stimulating, but gentle and pervading. The windows and screens are another source of a gentle pervading charm, for the light admitted into the room is always soft and restful and conducive to a meditative mood. The breeze passing through the needles of an old pine tree harmoniously blends with the sizzling of the iron kettle over the fire. The entire environment thus reflects the personality of the one who has created it. When Dogen came back from China after some years of study of Zen there, he was asked what he had learned. He said, quote, "Not much except soft-heartedness," end quote. Soft-heartedness is tender-mindedness, and in this case means gentleness of spirit. Generally, we are too egoistic, too full of hard, resisting spirit. We are individualistic, unable to accept things as they are or as they come to us. Resistance means friction. Friction is the source of all trouble. When there is no self, the heart is soft and offers no resistance to outside influences. This does not necessarily mean the absence of all sensitivities or emotionalities. They are controlled in the totality of a spiritual outlook on life. Indeed, gentleness of spirit, or soft-heartedness, is the foundation of our life on earth. If the art of tea purports to establish a Buddha land in its small group, it has to start with gentleness of spirit. To illustrate this point further, let us quote the Zen master Takuan, 1573-1645. Quote, "The principle of Cha no Yu is the spirit of harmonious blending of heaven and earth and provides the means for establishing universal peace. People of the present time have turned it into a mere occasion for meeting friends, talking of worldly affairs, and indulging in palatable food and drink. Besides, they are proud of their elegantly furnished tea rooms, where, surrounded by rare objects of art, they would serve tea in a most accomplished manner, and deride those who are not so skillful as themselves. This is, however, far from being the original intention of Cha no Yu. Let us then construct a small room in a bamboo grove or under trees. Arrange streams and rocks and plant trees and bushes. While inside the room, let us pile up charcoal, set a kettle, arrange flowers, and arrange in order the necessary tea utensils. And let all this be carried out in accordance with the idea that in this room we can enjoy the streams and rocks as we do the rivers and mountains in nature, and appreciate the various moods and sentiments suggested by the snow, the moon, and the trees and flowers as they go through the transformation of seasons, appearing and disappearing, blooming and withering." As visitors are greeted here with due reverence, we listen quietly to the boiling water in the kettle, which sounds like a breeze passing through the pine needles, and become oblivious of all worldly woes and worries. We then pour out a dipper full of water from the kettle, reminding us of the mountain streams, and thereby our mental dust is wiped off. This is truly a world of recluses, saints on earth. The principle of propriety is reverence, which in practical life functions as harmonious relationship. End quote. Excerpted in part from Takuan on the Art of Tea, Cha no Yu. 3. One tea master said, quote, "The spirit of Cha no Yu is to cleanse the six senses of contamination. By seeing the kakemono, hanging scroll, in the tokonoma, alcove, and the flower in the vase, one sense of smell is cleansed. By listening to the boiling water in the iron kettle and to the dripping water from the bamboo pipe, one's ears are cleansed. By tasting tea, one's mouth is cleansed. And by handling the tea utensils, one's sense of touch is cleansed. Thus, all the sense organs are cleansed, and the mind itself is cleansed of defilements. The art of tea is, after all, a spiritual discipline, and my aspiration for every hour of the day is not to depart from the spirit of tea, which is by no means a matter of mere entertainment." End quote. The snow-covered mountain path, winding through the rocks, has come to its end. Here stands a hut. The master is all alone. No visitors he has, nor are any expected. Sen no Rikyu, 1521 to 1591. D.T. Suzuki, 1870 to 1966. How jarring it is to feel the silence and elegance of a Japanese tea room in contradistinction to our current surroundings. The world has become very intrusive on so many levels, and sensory overload has become the norm. How do we hope to capture some of this quiet tranquility in our surroundings? For many of us, the pull to find a place of silence without is very compelling. At some point in practice, after years of sitting, the inner silence becomes the platform upon which the outer distractions reverberate, but no longer disturb. How do we balance our numerous possessions with the stark simplicity of the tea room? Our clutter of belongings and memories becomes another obstacle. Obviously, we are all works in progress. Any one of the elements of the tea ceremony, though, can become a touchstone for our lives: harmony, reverence, purity, and tranquility. To commit to a standard we aspire to, not in the sense of rules that bind us, but aiming toward a mind that seeks the way, defines a fully engaged life. Aspiring Together, Ilana, Scribe for Daily Zen. Recording and audio production by a longtime friend of Daily Zen. Music by Ashat Daniel Yan and Nature's Eye at Pixabay.com. To learn about Daily Zen, read journals and quotes, donate, or see the artistry of Daily Zen, please visit DailyZen.com. Thank you for listening, and may your way be clear.